Hell yeah, we can challenge for a league title.
Brams here on a Friday, one day till match day, and we, you know what that means. That usually means we're able to bring you some preview material with our friends from Apple MLS Season Pass, and that continues once again with Tony Husband joining us from Apple. Tony, welcome back to Charlotte Soccer Show, making your second appearance. You will be on the call for Charlotte at Nashville on Saturday. Tell us what you're looking for. So glad to have you. Welcome to Charlotte Soccer Nation.
Well, it's great to be back with you, Danny. Thanks for inviting me back as well. Looking forward to this game. Definitely, it's going to be an intriguing encounter. Two teams, probably not too much between them. They've already had one interesting game this season. The return in Nashville, I'm sure the home team looking for a bit of revenge. Good test for Charlotte, though. What is the start of a very, very hard sequence for them in terms of just the endurance that's going to be required to go on the road so often, both in league and cup?
Yeah, Open Cup play is here now. That means midweek games. That means lots of action on the road. We got to go to D.C. now. This is a look at the schedule here, and I've screwed up the graphic. I left an extra your paragraph text on there, so I feel silly. But we'll keep it up just because it does show the entire East, and it shows Charlotte's schedule coming up. It's a mess up there, the East, and this is sort of a prove-it match for Charlotte. This is a crossroads, as it were. We've had the best start to a season so far in club history, but is it all built on a house of cards? Could it all go south here in May with some tough matchups and a lot of road games? Starting with this match in Nashville, it's not going to be easy, and Charlotte could count themselves a little bit lucky to have gotten the win here in the Queen City a few weeks back.
Yeah, that's right. Nashville were actually pretty good in that game for certainly the first half was very much theirs and got undone by two very late goals. And that was, you know, a great comeback from Charlotte and that kind of Bank of America Stadium atmosphere and just fortress that was in place very firmly at the time, kind of really holding true, wasn't it? Because, you know, you found a way to win the game and win the game late with two goals in effectively the last 5 minutes of the match. So, you know, Nashville, without a doubt, dropped points that day. I do wonder how much the injury to Walker Zimmerman on that occasion kind of affected how the end of the game played out. Nevertheless, you know, it was a good win for Charlotte. Three good points. On the road, probably a different type of game in many ways. We'll see a lot more emphasis on Nashville having to take the game to Charlotte. I've watched a lot of Charlotte, both home and away, over the last couple of years. And, of course, this season, seeing them a lot as well. And this is a team I still think has a bit to prove on the road. There's no doubt Dean Smith's laid some very firm foundations with the team, and they're built from a very solid block. So I don't think it's a house of cards at all. I think it's a very, very solid foundation. No doubt about that. But it's a foundation that also is going to need to evolve a little bit on the road and probably eke out a few more points.
Yeah, that's good. You know me, I'm a little bit of a worrywart at times. You know, I like to be a big puffery and brag up Charlotte FC when there's a tough matchup. But then when I feel like things are going good, then I'm like, okay, waiting for the other shoe to drop. We talked about that first matchup in Charlotte with the reversal. I definitely agree with you that the Walker Zimmerman injury definitely changed the tone and tenor of that match. It was a big turning point. But the man who made it happen for Charlotte was Wilf Zaha. And Zaha sparked that comeback, scored the PK that equalized, and then was able helpful in creating the goal that led to the winner. You know, your broadcast partner, Ross Smith, he's a friend of the show. He's been on a couple of times. You know, whenever I watch you guys, have watched you guys do a game of ours this year, Ross is a little rough on Wilf Zaha. He takes him to task. There's been some drama off the field. But on the field, Zaha's been pretty much, as advertised, a guy who's still working into finding his best game. But most Charlotte FC fans are pretty happy with him. What do you see when you see Zaha play in an MLS?
Yeah, I see a player who, you know, is still working his way into the league and still learning about this league and learning the rigors of this league and how tough it is. It's a very physical league. He is a player who traditionally, and indeed that tradition has continued into MLS, is on the receiving end of a lot of rough treatment. He has fouled an awful lot. In fact, fouled more than anyone, it seems. And yeah, you're right. You know, Ross holds players to high standards, and players who have achieved great things in the game. You know, he holds them to those standards, you know, where whatever league they might be playing in. So, yeah, and I know it was noted last week that during the broadcast at Columbus, we kind of mused about whether maybe Zaha should have been the one withdrawn when Dean Smith made some substitutions in the second half. Now, I'll put my, you know, name firmly on the block here and say, you know, I'm a huge Wilf Zaha fan. I've said it since he joined the league when it was announced he was signing. That, you know, I felt he would had everything it took to be a star in this league. He has all the qualities. He has the persona. He has everything that makes, you know, MLS special, and he can be a star in this league. But he might need a bit more time just to find his feet in the league and the style of play and the rigors that you have over a season, the traveling, all those different things. And I think he's a player that naturally as well attracts a lot of responsibility. He's a very talented player. He can do things that, frankly, no other player often on the field can do. There's only a few that have that kind of technical skill that he can produce from time to time. But with that can come frustration sometimes when it doesn't work out for him. And I think we see that manifest itself from time to time as well. We always have. I used to watch him at Crystal Palace, as I said in our Apple broadcast. You know, I've seen him carry a Palace team to safety in the Premier League almost on his own, almost single-handedly, without being unfair on his teammates at the time. But many of them would say the same thing. He's an inspirational figure in a team. Sometimes that carrying that team mentality, though, can almost lead to him almost trying to do too much for the team. And that's often been the balance with him.
Yeah, I think we see a little bit of that in terms of still adjusting. But by all accounts, he's been a model teammate. He's been great in the dressing room. He's been engaged off the field and wants to be, you know, a teammate, wants to help build this club. Ashley Westwood, our captain, I think has set a tone for welcoming new people into the project and things like that. So even though Zaha has got earned a little bit of criticism from people that I just think mostly don't know ball, you know, I think there's a set of extremely casual online fans that really just they hear, oh, this guy's supposed to come in and score 50 goals, and if he doesn't, then he sucks, and they're going to give him stick online. Hopefully he's not listening too much to that small subset of people. But he did have, you know, he did have the thing where he lashed out on Snapchat last week and whatnot. But, you know, Zaha really, I think, is not a problem for Charlotte FC. I think he's doing what he needs to do right now. What might be a problem is talking about the defense that has been so dominant for years under Dean Smith. We say Dino's at the wheel, and the way Dino has sort of shaped this team with such a strong defensive identity. To ship four goals against Columbus last week, granted it's on the road, but a couple of them were dumb giveaways. Is that maybe an aberration for Charlotte FC, do you think, Tony? And the defensive foundation is still solid? Or do we have something to worry about with maybe the injuries and different faces being seen on that back line and whatnot?
Yeah, I think when you look at the goals, there are individual moments which don't necessarily add up to a kind of collective problem with the way that the team is lining up and with the structure of the defense. The first goal, you know, Kalina, you would perhaps feel he might do a little bit better with that week in, week out. You know, Dean Smith says was this week, you know, he's been superhuman for most of the time that he's been at the club. You know, he just kind of proved he's human. You know, I wouldn't go as far as calling it an outright full-on mistake, but I think he probably will feel he might have been able to do a little bit better. And then there were the later goal, you know, Jason Russell Rhodes, a lovely move from Columbus. You know, Charlotte are chasing the game at that point. They're trying to get back in it. So, you know, when you look across the goals, I don't know that they're necessarily endemic of a collective failure. I think they're more down to individual mistakes. I think Ashley Westwood would probably want, you know, one of those back as well. So fundamentally, the foundations of this Charlotte backline are still good. I mean, you've got questions, obviously. You've got two fullbacks at the moment who are probably not the first choice fullbacks. I mean, Ream is not, you wouldn't ideally play Tim Ream as a left back. And Scardina is, you know, second string behind the injured Nathan Byrne at the moment. Mm-hmm. But Scardina is going to get his opportunity. I'm very interested to see how JMR, as we call him, Jakeel Marshall-Rutty, is going to influence this roster in the weeks to come, and particularly with so many games and a lot of road games as well. Now, he is a player who can play right or left back. We saw him do it in US Open Cup this week. I wonder whether Dean Smith giving him an outing at left back against North Carolina was possibly a little run through to see whether he could slot into that position from time to time. I probably would lean towards Ream starting there, being on the road in Nashville. But Marshall Ruddy provides an option at either side as a fullback, or indeed higher up the field as well. A talented player with a lot to prove now, and a new chance at Charlotte to kind of, you know, prove his credentials, if you like, having come through as a very promising youngster. But fundamentally, you know, no, I wouldn't be overly concerned about shipping four goals against Columbus, because Columbus are going to do that against a lot of teams.
Yeah, well, hey, Nashville put up seven the other day, right, against Chicago. So we'll talk about that in a second. Just since you mentioned JMR, you led me perfectly to a soundbite from Dean Smith that he dropped just yesterday. He's had a lot of good things to say about this youngster, and here's exactly what he had to say at the press conference ahead of this match.
Yeah, it was good to see him. Good to see him on the left-hand side as well, because he's predominantly a right-footer. He can play as a right-back, a right-wing-back. He can play left-back, left-wing-back as well. So it gave me a great idea to look. It gave me the opportunity to see him in that position. And, you know, with the exception to the goal, I thought he defended really well. He was calm on the ball. You know, spoke to him about being a little bit more aggressive at times when he's got space to run into. Because I think he's previously played as a wide player as well, so he can go around the outside of players as well as inside them. So we're encouraging him to go and do that.
Echoing a lot of what you said there, just the versatility, the drive, the desire. We're really excited to have this young player in camp. And I think he's someone that Charlotte brought in on sort of an emergency loan, but I think he could have a long future at this club. He seems like a player that fits Dean Smith's system really well, and the versatility is just great.
Yeah, that's right. And I think he's a player who you quite clearly will be responsive to the coaching of Dean Smith. And Dean Smith is someone who's going to tell him what he wants from him. And I think Jaquil Marshall Ruddy is the kind of player who will be responsive to that on the training field and already clearly has been. And I definitely think that when you read between the lines with what Dean was talking about at the press conference, he's clearly got it in mind at some point that could he use him on the left while Dumbia is out, and perhaps to give Ream a bit of a break. And maybe the idea might be as well to move Ream inside, and you maybe give Privet or Malanda a little bit of a break in there at some point. It was interesting that he played Privet in the US Open Cup, but he didn't use Malanda. But also, Burns not going to be around, you know, for the foreseeable future, short term at least, while he recovers from the neck surgery. And he offers an option there as well. So potentially good signing. I think that's the thing, though, with Jaquil Marshall Ruddy. It's potential at the moment we're working off. It's time to try and see him deliver, and hopefully he does it in a Charlotte shirt.
Yeah, big time. Well, I know you're headed off to Nashville training, Tony. I just real quick, your thoughts on Nashville. What kind of form are Surridge and Mukhtar in? What kind of devilish machinations do they have in store for Charlotte on the pitch on Saturday night?
Well, I think everybody in the league took notice of the utter demolition of Chicago, who were frankly awful on the night against Nashville. But let's credit Nashville with the fact that they turned them into awful, because when they set about them that night, and they just caused Chicago all sorts of problems from the get-go. And the worrying thing from Chicago's perspective was that they just fell apart once they were kind of under pressure and a couple of goals down. The wheels came off completely. They were making substitutions. They gave away two appalling goals in the second half. I mean, it's 7-0, Danny, to be honest with you. Right. I think Nashville took the foot off the pedal a bit. That game had all the potential to be an MLS record. 8 goals, the record scored in a game. I think Nashville actually could have gone on and scored 9 or 10 that night. At that point, I think they just eased off a little bit, and then Chicago kind of found their feet and got a couple of consolation goals. So, you know, the message was there that this Nashville team under BJ Callahan, they're going to attack, they're going to press high up the field from time to time, they're going to turn the ball over, and they're going to win the ball in and around the penalty area, and they're going to create chances quickly from those kind of situations. Surridge is, on his day, an excellent goal scorer. What I think that they've been looking for from him is that kind of consistency, a kind of goal a game, goal on every other game kind of striker. Well, he's got 4 in the last home game, but you know they'll want to see him, you know, try and keep that momentum up at home. Mukhtar against Chicago as well, for the first time in a while, looked like the Mukhtar that won the MVP award. Mm-hmm. Some of us wondered, will we ever see him hit that level again? Because he hit extraordinary heights in 2022 when he won the award. And you kind of felt like it was impossible to sustain that. We talk about Zaha carrying teams in the past. You know, Mukhtar carried this Nashville team on his back for a long time. But he looked, you know, ominously dangerous. Schaffelberg came in, played well. Ahmed Kasim had been very good when he came into the team at the start of the season and has now actually lost his starting 11 place, or certainly had the last couple of weeks. So they're a dangerous team. Still no Walker Zimmerman, it seems, post that injury in Charlotte. But Palacios has come in and played very well alongside Jack Mayer, who is flourishing. So they're getting a lot out of what they've got. They've still got a spine and a core of one or two players that have been here since the very beginning. But they've added some sprinkles of stardust in there as well. And Eddie Tagseth's been a great fan favorite. Tough game for Charlotte, this, but a good game, I think, because having tested themselves against Columbus last week, who are on their day as good as anyone in the Eastern Conference or the league as a whole, now they test themselves against probably a team who at home, at Geodis Park, are probably up there with as good as any team at home in the league when they want to be.
Yeah, it was a tough loss at Geodis for Charlotte last year with some late 2-1, I think. Brecht Diagra scored his final goal for the club, if I'm not mistaken, in that match. But, Tony, I cannot wait to listen to your call on Saturday. I thank you so much for your time today. Go out there and, you know, if you're at the training today and Serge is running by and you can, you know, stick a little foot out, maybe give him a trip, you know, tell him, say that one's from Danny Brams for sure. But hey, we appreciate it.
You know what, Danny, the one thing is that BJ Callahan, the Nashville head coach, he's a Villanova guy. And we now have a Pope who's a former Villanova guy as well. So they have yellow smoke billowing or gold smoke billowing at Nashville at Geodis Park on a match day. So, you know, who knows? It might be in favor of Nashville this week, but we'll wait and see.
Yeah, hopefully that yellow smoke will signal the crowning of a new contender, Charlotte FC, having dethroned Nashville and back to winning ways in the East. We really
very
appreciate
good.
It,
we're coming up with all the commentary lines here between us. This is fantastic. Thank you.
Hey, it's for the crown, baby.